Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of what wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with the death and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Let me say, before we look at the detail of this chapter, just to remind you that at this point in the book of the Revelation, the church is no longer seen upon earth. So we take it that in John being caught up into heaven was just an example of what will happen when the Lord comes for the church, and we shall be removed from earth to heaven. So once the church has been raptured to heaven, here we have before us now what John saw in relation to events on the earth. From chapter 6 through to chapter 16, they cover for us those 7 years, which Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 makes reference to. A 7-year period in which the judgment of God in relation to the earth will be made manifest. And so chapter 6, right through to chapter 16, it does cover the events that will take place during that 7-year period prior to the Lord's second advent. And we need to remind ourselves that the background to this is seen in Matthew chapter 24, and from verse 6 down to verse 14, we have the Lord Jesus Christ describing a similar situation, which he calls the beginning of sorrows. So let me suggest at the outset of our study today that what we have in chapter 6, the opening of the seven the seven sealed book, and the six seals that are open are events that will take place during the first half of those 7 years of which the scripture speaks. For we find that Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 speaks of in the midst of those years. And so the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us in Matthew 24 that in the midst of those years, we find the image of the Antichrist will be found taking its place in relation to the temple of God. And so what we have really in this chapter are those events that will take place upon earth during the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, those 7 years. And so we want to see just what will yet take place. And let me remind you, we live in a day when the history of the nations, or the pages of the history of the nations, are turning swiftly. For much of what we read today, we can see in some measure already happening in the world, although at present there's no fulfillment of these things at this point in time. They refer to and they have place in the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, which will begin after the rapture of the church. Now, when we come to chapter 6, we got six seals of the seven seal book opened. And as each seal is opened, so we find there is a further development of things that will take place upon earth during the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. So it says verse number 1. And John is saying that he saw that when the Lamb took the book and he began to open the seals thereof, we find in verse 2, when he opened the first seal, what he saw was this. And let me remind you, although the Authorized Version says, and that when the beast said, come and see, it is better understood that the words and see are omitted. Mr. Darby, he gives about 9 reasons why those words ought to be omitted. And so the word it should be, and the first beast, when he cried, come, then John says, and I looked and I saw and I beheld, and John saw what was introduced when the first seal was opened and loosed in relation to the seven sealed book. What he saw was this. He saw a white horse. And upon this white horse was a rider. And the rider had a bow, and who was crowned, who went forth conquering and to conquer. I take it then that what this first seal is introducing to us is the initial rise of the Antichrist, or throughout the man of sin, or as we'll record in chapter 13, the beast. The initial rise of this man to political power on the stage of world politics. For right throughout this chapter is the earth. It's not just Israel. The whole earth is involved in these judgments of God. And what John sees, first of all, is a white horse. And him that rode upon that white horse had a bow but no arrows. And he saw that he was crowned. And he went forth conquering and to conquest. So we find that here in verse number 2, we have the beginning of the rise of the Antichrist to the supreme power that we shall see when we get to chapter 13 that he will have in the world. We find that he goes forth peacefully, it seems, because he has a crown, he has a bow with no arrows, so the conquest seems already to be accomplished. And so John's attention is taken up with the commencement of the rise of this very important person who will take place in relation to the program and purposes of God before bringing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when he saw, when the second beast said, come, and the second horse arrived, and that was red, and the red horse, now we find it's not now one going forth in what seems peaceful times, having the conquest already been accomplished, going forth now taking his rise in the political places of the world. We now find that there's a red horse indicating to us that there will be warfare during those first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. And that warfare will no doubt be a result of this man beginning his rise to power in the world. And so says John, what I saw was this. And the very language that John uses seems to be a language of surprise. When the second seal was over, he was surprised to see a red horse. But it was the indication that after all, during those first 3.5 years, there will be warfare, there will be bloodshed. And so John sees these things as the seals are opened. When the Lamb opened the third seal, it's not now a white horse, it's not now a red horse. It's a black horse. And that would indicate from what the verse is saying to us, that there will be, during those first 3.5 years, not only warfare, but there will be famine. And we find that a measure of wheat will be sold for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And so we find that with the opening of this seal, the black horse comes into view. And the black horse may well represent famine that often is associated with times of warfare. We see that, do we not, in the present with the Ukraine situation. The very fact that there is war has affected the harvest, and therefore famine, where we are acquainted with famine in different parts of the world even today. But in this day, when the man of sin is making his rise to ultimate power, we find there will be war and there will be famine. And we find that with the famine will follow another horse, a pale horse. And so we find that the red horse, the black horse, and now the pale horse. And then we have the pale horse personified as death and hell associated with him. And through death and hell, we find that a fourth part of the earth will actually be destroyed. That is, a fourth part of the population of the earth will be destroyed with sword, says John, first of all, and then
with hunger
because of the famine, and then
with death
itself,
and the beasts of the earth.
And then the wild beasts of the earth will be the means during that period of time, when that fourth seal is opened, that a fourth part of the world's population will actually be destroyed. I don't know what the present population of the world is. It used to be, a few years ago, around about 5 billion. What it is today, I don't know. But it's evident that when these seals are opened, and when you get to the fourth seal being opened, then a vast number, over 100,000 million people, no doubt, will have died during those first 3.5 years of this dreadful time of what we often refer to as Daniel's 70th week. It's a very solemn thing, isn't it? To think of what's going to happen. And all those who are not saved, the church will be removed from earth altogether. But with the removal of the church, there will be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, and there will be multitudes saved. And to think that during that period of time, as we shall see now in the fifth seal, when the fifth seal is opened, during that period of time, a multitude of saints actually will be slain. And so when John saw the fifth seal opened, what he saw was this. He saw the souls of them that were slain under the altar. Now that word slain means they met their death by violent means. That's what we call them, martyrs. So we must be aware of this, that once the church has been removed from this world, and this world is left with Satan as its God and its prince, there will be, because of the activity of men upon the earth, there'll be a vast multitude of people, of saints of that time, that will be violently killed. And John sees them now as souls under the altar. Now, these are solemn things, aren't they? It does give, I suppose, impetus to the preaching of the gospel in view of what would yet happen here upon the earth, when the throne of God is no longer a throne of grace, but rather a throne of judgment, when God will act in judgment direct from heaven to the children of men here upon the earth. But let us remember, just as it has been throughout the church age, multitudes of Christians have been slain, been killed, because of their faith. Now what John sees is this, that these martyrs, they've been violently killed. What for? Because of the word of God. And because of the testimony that they held. That is, here were saints living according to the word of God. And in their faithfulness to God, they held the truth that had been revealed to them. And as a result, it brought about their violent deaths. And John, he sees them under, as souls, under the altar. You see, the language, I guess, is in a sense figurative, in that here are real men and women living upon the earth, violently killed, and John sees now their souls under the altar, and indicating to us that those who were slain because of their faith and because of what they held in relation to the truth of God, they are now seen, unclothed, souls, and that under the altar of God in heaven. For we find in this book reference made to the temple in heaven. Here we have reference made to the altar in heaven. And whereas the souls of believers today, when they're absent from the body, they are immediately at home with the Lord. In this day of tribulation, during those first 3.5 years, when these things will have their place, then those who are so violently killed, their souls are seen to be under the altar. We know that they're not of the Christian age because of what they're saying. For they're crying unto him who is holy and true. That why, how long before they would avenge our blood? Indicating to us the character of their death. Here are these saints who've been killed, and they're crying out unto him who's holy and true. How much longer before you will take vengeance upon them who shed our blood? Now, this is what is interesting, the answer that is given. For the answer that is given is, now rest for a little season. That's what makes me think, and believe at this point in time, that these events of chapter 6 will take place during the first 3.5 years of that 70th week. Because the answer given in relation to their cry for vengeance was this, now rest a while. They're just to rest, as I see now beneath the altar. Because they're their fellow servants and brethren who are yet to suffer death, are yet to be slain, meet with a violent death. And so these martyrs are just exhorted to rest because there are others who will yet follow because of their faith in God and because of the testimony that they hold in relation to the truth of God during the second half of Daniel's 70th week, indicating to us that what we have when we got to this point, We are in the first half of those 7 years, and during the second half of those 7 years, even more saints will be slain. And so we find that they are just commanded to rest for a season. And then we read there, to each one is given a white robe. Now, I can only think that this would be symbolic. There are those, of course, who have written and have spoken and have preached. In relation to these souls, they would be given bodies. A temporary body, I think, is how they speak. They'll be given a temporary body until the time of the resurrection at the end. But I'm just not too convinced that that is what the verse is teaching. The fact that each one is given a white robe would indicate to us, because of their faithfulness to God during those dreadful days of persecution, they now seem to be acceptable unto God. And their acceptability with God is indicated by each one of them given a white robe. That's how I would perhaps understand what we're reading of in this fifth seal, when the souls of the martyrs are given, each one, a white robe. And so we see what John was seeing, and what John was saying. He said, look, I beheld, altogether amazed at what he beheld, the different horsemen, or the different horses and horsemen, and now the souls under the altar. And so we find that by the time we come to the fifth seal, having been opened, we now have the sixth seal. And the sixth seal, when that is opened, well, because of the language of the sixth seal, it has been suggested that actually this corresponds with the end of the 7 years and the judgment at the end of the 7 years. I rather think that what we have in these seven seals, or in these six seals, we have what would be characteristic of those first 3.5 years. And what we have at the end of those 3.5 years, what is now set before us, this great earthquake, and the sun darkened, and the moon, as it were, turned to blood, and stars falling from heaven, and the heavens rolled away. Now, it's not actually referring to what we read of when we get to chapter 20, is it? When heaven and earth passes away. We're not there yet. These are just forerunners, if you will, the precursor of what will happen in far greater measure at the end time, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come back from heaven to earth and deal with the rebellion and the revolt against God. But here we find that when the Lamb opens the sixth seal, we find there's a great earthquake. And the results of that great earthquake, there are three great earthquakes, one in relation to the seals, one in relation to the trumpets, one in relation to the bowls. Three great earthquakes. There are, I think, seven earthquakes in the book altogether, if I remembered correctly. But there are only three of them that are called great. And the such was the greatness of the earthquake. It altered and it moved heaven and earth, or the bodies of heaven, heavenly bodies, and earthly places. But then we're not surprised, are we? I take it then that at the time of the flood, the fact that there were waters from beneath, that there was a great earthquake. And when the earthquake occurred in the flood, if that was so, we noted then that the earth was divided. It was separated into islands. And so it was no surprise, is it, that when at the end of those 3.5 years, there's this great earthquake sent by God. And so great was it that it altered the look of the sun. It altered the look of the moon. It speaks of stars falling from heaven. I just wonder, as a result of the greatness of this earthquake, it did make the sun to appear darkened. It did cause the moon to appear as blood. And perhaps the star that fell, I just wonder, was such a great earthquake that affected the bodies of the heavens. Was it, knowing what we often hear about today, if you get just one bit from the atmosphere fall to earth, it causes great consternation among men upon the earth. Well, we don't know, do we? Satellites, they break up or whatever. It could be that what we have here in this verse is that such was the movement of heavenly bodies that it caused men to fear and to wonder and to fall down. For we read, do we not? After the great earthquake that affected those heavenly bodies and affected the earth, and you're not surprised, are we, that every category of men and women upon the earth, from kings right down to servants, they were all affected by the greatness of the things that happened at this point in God's dealings with men upon the earth, is as part of his program for the bringing in of the Lord Jesus Christ to reign. And so we find all classes of the people. We find they call upon the mountains and the rocks to hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Interesting, isn't it? In the previous chapter, we read of the blood of the Lamb. Here's the wrath of the Lamb and these awful judgments that are yet to take place upon the earth. It's but the expression of the judgment of God and the wrath of the Lamb, and it will affect all peoples upon the earth, and they'll call upon mountains and rocks to hide them. Such will be the fear of that day. And after all, when it talks about heaven being rolled up as a scroll, it does not bring us to the end of the time that we read of the end of the book of Revelation. Because Isaiah says, chapter 34, he talks about the heavens being rolled up. And so we see that here are events that will take place that are but the precursor of that which will actually be accomplished at the end of these 7 years prior to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to the earth. And so we have a whole chapter given over to the opening of the seven sealed book. Six seals opened. Four, we find, have to do with things that we will be acquainted with on the earth today. And then the martyrs. And then this awful earthquake. Well, we read of earthquake in diverse places today. The Lord warned in Matthew 24, that would be so. And so we're acquainted with earthquakes. But such will be the character of this earthquake. The heavenly bodies will be affected. And to such an extent, all men, whatever their rank, will fall down before God upon their faces and call upon mountains and rocks to hide them. For they recognize at this point that that which has happened was, after all, the work of God and the expression of the wrath of the Lamb. Makes us glad, doesn't it, that God in his great mercy brought us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at this time, before ever divine judgments will take place in that future day of which we've read. We shall be safe home in the presence of Christ. And we may as well say, or as Christian Israelites, where will the church be when all these things are happening upon earth? Well, I take it that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for the church, that he will take us into the Father's house. And within the security of the Father's house, whilst these dreadful judgments take place, the church will be there. After all, he's going to present the church unto himself as a church all glorious, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Let's thank God every day that, after all, we are saved by grace and through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. So may God just give us help to understand a little of what is yet to happen when the 70th week of Daniel begins to take its place, and the man of sin, Antichrist, begins his rise in this world. For as we shall see as we go through these further chapters, that the rise of this man is associated with these judgments that come from God from heaven. And so may God help us, with the help of his gracious Spirit, to understand a little of what has been written for our learning. Thank you.